and talk with Stephen Wasco, who is the assistant superintendent of the Detroit Public Schools. Stephen, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for the opportunity this morning.
I appreciate being with you. How long have you been with the Detroit Public Schools?
I have been with the Detroit Public Schools in various capacities on and off since the early 90s.
Well, so you've been there a long time. I'm from the city of Mount Clemens, and so I've, from the outside, been watching the Detroit Public Schools, and it seems like forever that district has had a challenge at not only taking care of their finances, but also in achieving the test scores that the state and that the federal government want us to attain. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that's certainly very true, and there's a number of forces that have led to that. But one of those, which may or may not be an obvious one to your listeners, and Roy Roberts, our emergency manager, pointed it out when he spoke about some new plans this week, is simply the level of transition and change that has gone on in DPS. To take the last 7 years as an example, we've had seven different leaderships, seven superintendents or CEOs or emergency managers, and each of those has been well-intentioned. Each of those has come, as every new leader of any large organization does, with their own plans and ideas for the future. And whether those were well-directed or not, in many cases, never is fully demonstrated, because by the time you get around to the next year or the following year, things have changed. And imagine how that is when you're the principal of a local school out in a neighborhood in northwest Detroit or southwest Detroit or on the east side, and you get your curriculum in place, you get your plans in place, and here we come with another change.
So you believe that's been the cause for the problems that they've had for decades?
I think that's one of the causes. You know, clearly there are long-term financial and demographic trends that have simply worked against Detroit Public Schools. There's a population loss in the city of Detroit that's been well reported. Funny thing about families, when they leave the city, they tend to take their children along, as Roy Roberts and others have noted recently in their commentary. And that drain on resources certainly has had an impact as well.
All right, so you have these challenges and dysfunction, if you will, that has been going on for decades. Now the Detroit Public School proposes 10 self-governing schools. Tell us about this program.
I want to talk about the self-governing schools, but if I could just, because they've gotten a lot of attention, but it's really part of several things that were announced this week by Mr. Roberts. And perhaps the most important, which hasn't gotten as much airtime or press time, Tony, is an opportunity for parents to have a one-stop, apples-to-apples comparison place for schools in Detroit. As the debate has raged about schools in Detroit that you well noted, there's always questions about whose school's better than the other. Is the charter school better? Is my school better than yours? Do we like this school, what have you? And the problem is that everyone's using different measures to get to that. And one of the things that we announced this week is that all the providers of some 95% of the schools in Detroit, the authorizers, the state universities, Ferris State and Grand Valley and Eastern Michigan and others who charter a large number of schools in the city of Detroit, as well as Detroit Public Schools and as well as the Education Achievement Authority, have come to an agreement that there should be a common assessment and that there should be an independent arbiter, a nonprofit agency in the city called Excellent Schools Detroit, to analyze that information and to share that with parents. And that's going to be important for parents who are making choices and shopping, frankly, for schools. It's also going to be instructive to institutions such as Detroit Public Schools when making future decisions about schools as to open or close them. And another thing that Mr. Roberts said this week is that moving forward, we know we need to close more schools. We still have tremendous overcapacity, 40,000 empty seats as we sit here today in Detroit Public Schools. But the way that we're going to determine what schools to close is going to be based on academic quality, not on facilities or operations or what have you. If we have a great program in a bad building, we may move that program to a different building so that it can thrive, but we're going to make those decisions based on academics. To get to the 10 self-governing schools, to that issue of stability, one of the issues has been every time there's a leadership change, and much of that's been politically driven and surely will again into the future be the same, the idea is to root some of the reforms at the local school level so deeply into the soil of Detroit that it doesn't matter who's running the show from downtown, whether it's an emergency manager or if the Board of Education takes control of academics again at some point in the future when the emergency is lifted by the state. And these self-governing schools will have local councils of community members, business leaders, and parents who will be making the decisions, and they're going to be hard to push away regardless of what the change is coming in the future for the programs that they've put in place at those local schools. These local councils will have hiring and firing input. They'll make the purchasing decisions. That's going to revamp, as Mr. Roberts said, the DPS central organization to make it more of an enterprise model. We'll be competing. We'll have to be quicker on our feet. We're going to have to get rid of whatever waste is remaining here in central office to compete for those services, because those local principals and those local governing councils are going to have a choice to buy books and supplies and toilet paper. They can purchase them through DPS, or they can go to the local Costco, and if that's cheaper there, then they're going to purchase them there.
Who's going to be in charge of the funds?
97% of the funds, once you pull out debt service and a couple of other required areas, would go to the school. So the district will operate on a 3% fee to cover certain basics that are just needed to be covered, if you will, and 97% of the funds will be determined how to be spent at that local school level. Yep. And I should say that that's not just going to create a, you know, Wild West across Detroit and everyone's making their own decisions regardless of curriculum or accountability standards. The school will sign a one-year performance agreement with DPS. Mr. Roberts has charged Doug Ross, a longtime leader in school reform here and across the state and elsewhere, for oversight of these schools. He's our chief innovation officer for the most recent year. And he'll sign a one-year performance agreement with these schools that will set clear standards for what the academic progress has to be, and there'll be outcomes if those are not met.
Because that's where the concerns will be with the management of the money. There's been many, many stories over the course of decades of, as I've seen it, malfunction, however you want to term it, in dealing with money. So how are we going to know that that's kept above board?
Well, a number of things. One of the things we've talked a lot about this week as we've briefed community leaders is that the simple lack of systems that have eroded over years in the central office have probably caused as much trouble as actual malfeasance and theft. You know, lacking a purchasing system, lacking a financial system that is helpful to principals and to others making decisions, it is simply too easy to make the wrong decisions or not know how to go about one's business in terms of expending those funds. So one of the things that the Roberts team has been putting in place this year across DPS, and these are not the things that get a lot of headlines, and frankly, they're the things that the average parent in the average school in a local neighborhood will never see and shouldn't see. But they're a financial system, they're in a cash accrual system for accounting, they're a purchasing system, and all these other backbone systems as well.
And so I wanted to talk to you about a quote that I saw from the Detroit Public Schools emergency manager, Roy Roberts, and and I quote, "Every time I pick a school and make it a charter school, I take away my ability to pay off the deficit." So I said, "Why don't you create schools that are charter-esque?" Very interesting. A lot of folks down in Detroit are against charter schools. What is charter-esque?
Well, charter-esque, and I should be clear, and Roy Roberts has been clear throughout this week, that all the announcements that we've talked about are about strengthening DPS. There's been a lot of other efforts to attack the problems, the root causes of public education decline in Detroit over many years, but those have, in many cases, removed schools from DPS. There's a new Education Achievement Authority. We're certainly working with them and are part of that, but that removes another 15 schools from DPS. DPS and others have chartered schools. We charter our own 16 schools, but based on state law, Tony, in those particular cases, the per pupil funding, all of that flows right to the school, and there's no opportunity to continue to address the remaining deficit, which continues to linger over the school district. It's down to $83.9 million. That's still a huge sum. That's a major decrease from what it was at its high water mark just a year ago at $327 million through many cuts and other efficiencies as well. But every time you take a school out of the district and you remove those pupils, you're taking that per pupil funding with you, and you're saying that that remaining debt then has to be spread across a smaller number of students and a smaller number of schools. So Mr. Roberts' comment was that we can have some of the things that have been positive in terms of education that charters have brought right within DPS without removing those schools and leaving the remaining financial burden on a smaller set of schools and a smaller set of students.
All right. The program will include 10 schools, and I would imagine if it's successful here, it could spread to other schools.
That's very much the intent, and there was some discussion as we looked at a wide array of ways to move forward to taking a larger number of schools. There were even some proposals, Tony, to take all of our schools and put them in this category in the first year, and we simply didn't think that that was a risk that was worth taking at this point in time. There'll be ample opportunity to review the progress of these 10 schools. Mr. Roberts is committed to expanding that number the following year if there are successes and if there are lessons to be learned to either make the program better or different in some way. We'll do that as well.
All right, Kristen McDonald from the Skillman Foundation will be on our program next. We're going to get her take on this. Fascinating information, Mr. Wasko. Stephen Wasko is the Assistant Superintendent of Detroit Public Schools. We appreciate your time so much.
My pleasure. Have a good day.